God bless you, Michael.
Good morning. Yeah, I love this church, hey? The name really fits your church so perfect. Real Life Church. And Pastor always is funny. This morning he said to me when I arrived, he said, "It's next week." And I actually believed him. But it's this week, so we're all good. So my name's Michael. I'm a part of the team at Water for Africa. And as you heard before, we work in Tanzania. And our focus is to drill and repair wells that are in the remote villages of Tanzania to provide clean water. But everything we do, we share the gospel as well, because we see the need of alleviating someone's suffering in this world, but also sharing why we do it and who has sent us. And I've been working with the team full-time for about 6 months now. And yeah, it's been amazing. I've been blown away by how God has provided and cared for me, even Real Life Church and pastors personally, and just blown me away how, you know, when we take a step in faith, how God is always one step ahead waiting for us, you know? And he's constantly calling us from that future place, you know? So it's been amazing. I've got some photos to show you. I'm going to tell you about the work we're doing. And yeah, we'll just go from there. So this first photo was taken in Tanzania. And that was just this. Unfortunately, in Tanzania, 23 million people don't have access to clean water, so they are normally walking kilometers to get dirty water. It takes children out of schools, and unfortunately, the main people that are collecting the water is women and children, and this can lead to the spread of HIV through different awful things. So what our aim is to change this and to share that Christ is the one who's provided it. We tell people in these remote communities that we go to that you are not forgotten. God knows your name. Because out there in the middle of nowhere in remote Africa, people can feel as if they're so forgotten, that no, God does not know their name, and that their life compared to the rest of the world is so poor. And some people even believe that maybe it's punishment. So we try to change that perception that actually Christ knows your name, that he loves you so much, and that he's the only God that pursues his people first. So that's what we're trying to do at the moment. This year we have expanded into Uganda also. Into northern Uganda, a place called Lira, which, actually, do we have any Tanzanians or Ugandans here? No? That's okay. We're working in a place called Lira in northern Uganda, which about 10 years ago was impacted heavily by Joseph Kony and the LRA, which were a rebel group that would go from village to village. And they would take children to make them into child soldiers. They would normally kill the men, and the women were taken as slaves. So the region there is still greatly affected by that war 10 years later. People are really just trying to rebuild their lives, and one of the huge needs they have there is they have no clean water. So we were invited to go to Uganda to see another work that was going on there, another group of missionaries. And when we were there, they just said, "We would love it if you could help us with the water issue." So we prayed about it, and it was just green light from there, and we decided to do it. So our contacts on the ground, we said, we need men that can speak English, men that are Christians, that are willing to preach the gospel, and we need men that can fix wells and repair them. So we got on the plane in June, me and my dad, who I think you guys have met before. We landed, and when we arrived, we were picked up. We'd fundraisers, and God supplied us with a car, which I think, is that the car you guys, Real Life Church, were part of? So we got in the car, we head off northern Uganda. We didn't know what we were expecting. We got there, we arrived at the local MP who were working with, and there was two men sat under a jackfruit tree. We introduced ourselves. We said, apparently you guys know how to fix wells. They said, we do. We said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? They said, we love him. And we said, cool, I think we'll get on then. So we took them to the tools we had, and we said, what does this tool do? And they said, oh, that's a C-wrench. Use it to do this. Okay, they know a little bit. What does this tool do? Oh, that tool you can do. And we just went through that, and we said, okay, the test will be tomorrow when we go. So in the morning, we all got up, jumped in the car, drove to this remote community, and from there, they just got straight to work and fixed a well. And we were just blown away. Then they preached the gospel, people got saved, and we went, these guys have got it. So it was really amazing, you know. We felt like that, obviously, with our work in Tanzania, you started from the ground and you had to build it. But we felt like Uganda started from a point way further down that line. And it was such a relief. And we were just blown away getting on the plane back to go to Tanzania, how God just brings people together. And if we'll allow him, he'll bring people like ourselves to do his work. You know, it's not us on our own, but we've got to do this in unity together, and we've got to be willing to work together. And we were just amazed at how he just supplied our needs, from men on the ground when we got there to relationships in government who were Christian men, to vehicles through churches like yourself, donating and giving, and then seeing the gospel being preached in these nations and seeing people saved, and then healings. We saw the miraculous healings of people in communities, which just blew us away. One village we went, and it was the first village we've ever been to. We preached the gospel, and people received, and then we baptized them in the Holy Spirit. And then we did an altar call for healing as well, and people responded, and we saw some healings, but I think we didn't see what we expected. Anyway, the next day we came back to that village to try and install another well. And when we got there, one of the ladies who we prayed for came to us, bringing all these people with her, and then she told them how we prayed for her, and she was healed that night. So they all need to be prayed for as well. So all these people are looking at us, and we're saying, no, it's not us, it's Jesus. Amen. So we said to the lady that got healed, we said, no, you lay your hands on the sick and you will see them recovered. So she started doing it. And I thought, that's all we need, right, is that one person in a community to get on fire for Christ to the point of where they are so convicted that God has done this for me, what can he do for everybody else? And so we just watched, stood back, and let this little lady get, she was off. So it was just amazing seeing Uganda just really take off like that. And since June, they have provided clean water to 14,000 people. And they're continuing to preach the gospel again and again and again. And we're just blown away. And even when we were one day driving in our car, we wondered, but we didn't want to ask the two men that worked for us, because they were of the age where they would have grown up within the war. And you've just met these guys, and one of them turned to us one day and he said, could I share my story? And we said, yeah. And he said, well, I grew up during when the rebels came, and 150 men in my village were rounded up, and we were going to be turned into child soldiers. But then they decided instead that they didn't want us, so they were going to get rid of us one by one. And I was there tied up, and they begin to loot one of the local towns, but I had a razor blade in my pocket. So I cut myself free, and I turned and said to the other 149 men, we can make an escape. And people were so scared that they wouldn't even escape. So one man, his friend from his village who he grew up with, said, cut me free. So they cut each other free, and they ran into the long elephant grass, as we call it, and they hid. And he never saw the other 140-something men ever again. But what he said to me, he said, I can see God with me all the way. And that just blew me away, the simplicity of faith and seeing Christ with him in the elephant grass, seeing Christ with him when he was tied up, about to be executed, seeing Christ with him when he was cutting the ropes, and just seeing, and then saying, and now I get to share that Christ with my community. And he was just so thankful. So I was blown away by that. So that's Uganda. It's been pretty crazy, and I'm really excited to see where that will go further and to see that expand into different regions. Let's talk about Tanzania, though. So Tanzania, we have expanded into three new regions. So a region in Tanzania is large. It's I don't know how big you would do it in Perth size, but it's a large area. So we've just currently expanded into three new ones. How we work in Tanzania is that we will focus, or in Africa, on a project region, and we will just expand almost like a circle. And then once we have those wells maintained and drills, we'll expand out further. So in 1 year, we've expanded out into three new ones. So it's quite exciting. And each of these new regions is different in nature, whether it be some will be more higher concentrated of Muslims and different things like that. So we're going into regions where we're going to really have to go in with a lot of prayer and just believe God's with us, because some of these regions could be different. So if you can continue to pray for us as we do that and keep sharing the gospel. But it's also exciting because we see that God is expanding what we're doing as well. We have recently, we'll go to the next picture. We have recently purchased a farm. God provided, and we've been able to purchase a farm. Now, the idea of the farm is that we believed for such a long time, we were always fundraising and we're saying, you know, in Australia fundraising. And then one day we all sort of came to this conclusion in prayer as a team, what if the funds could come from Tanzania? We're constantly always looking at this idea that the funds will come from Australia, but we thought, what if Tanzania could fund itself? So we begin to explore different models and ways of looking at it. We went through options, and some straight away it was just a red light. No, some it was, we explored it and it turned out wrong, but we looked at our region and saw that our region is so agricultural in nature, and it's quite good for growing crops. So we thought, what about a farm? And it was a bit of an idea, and nobody really has a farming background within the team. So we're like, oh, how are we going to farm? But then we said, well, we started knowing nothing about wells. We started not knowing anything about Tanzania and Africa. So if God's with us and he could do that, maybe he can do this. And I think that's a part of how God works in our lives, is so often that, like the boy with the bread and the fish, we just give him what we have and we watch Christ multiply it and bless so many others. And we're left amazed, even with our insecurities and our doubts, we go, wow, he did that with the small piece I had. So we started looking into farming, fundraising for it. We started doing research and turning out that avocados and macadamia nuts are a huge cash crop. China has just discovered the avocado, and if China's discovered something, you're going to sell. So we thought avocados is the way to go. It's perfect climate. It's perfect conditions. And our biggest competition for selling would be South America, and when they have their on-season for harvest, it's our off-season, and vice versa. So we were so glad, and we know local people in the area who are experts in these things, or what we would call fundies, and so they were willing to help us out because they know that we're trying to do this work. The farm is a non-for-profit business, meaning nobody will receive any profit. We won't. It'll be solely for funding the gospel and for funding wells to be drilled in that region. Yeah, so it's exciting. To be honest with you, part of me is here in Perth, but I'm constantly thinking about macadamia nuts for some reason. And I'm just thinking, I need to get back there and get to work. But part of me thinks, I don't even know anything about nuts. But anyway, you've just got to have a go sometimes. So that's exciting. We've moved all our operations to the farm. It is now the Water for Africa base and headquarters. So we're going to begin to run different things from there, which is also exciting as our work expands into different areas. That's what we're doing with the farm. We have a farm manager who's come on board with us, a Christian guy, and he's just got to work and he's just going gangbusters. So we're just really pleased with that. And again, amazed at how God's come through. And we're believing that if this model is successful, then we think, could it be in ways duplicated? And if that's so, then we could maybe do it in Uganda or different countries, and we can look at different climates. And if that's a possibility, then we could make these things really self-sustainable, but also have an impact where we can bring locals in to train farming techniques as well. So we're just constantly trying to expand what we do, because if you look, the kingdom grows. Constantly in the Bible, there's a growth attached to when Christ talked about kingdom. It doesn't stay small, it begins to grow. And as you journey, you begin to see the needs in your community and think, maybe we could try that. And I think God only needs a maybe. And then if we'll take this step, he'll do the rest. So what else have we done in Tanzania? We ran our second pastors' conference. So we started last year, we ran a conference for pastors. It began with, we started a prayer meeting with pastors within our region to try and bring unity within the body. Unfortunately, a lot of the pastors in our region live so remote from town that they are so isolated, living down kilometers of dirt tracks that you can only get to by car. They're so excluded from the rest of society. And these guys are doing it really tough. Some of our pastors might have live in tiny villages and have five people in their church, and they rely on the crops that grow from the ground, and if they don't get a harvest that year, then... So these guys do it really tough, and we just thought, what if we could bring them together and try and connect them to one another and create community, and so that they understand they're not doing this alone, and then maybe they can begin to do life together and we can try and help them. So we ran a pastors' conference last year, and we opened it up to every flavor and look of expression, denomination of church. If you want to come and you love Jesus, you can come. So that was our idea. So we just invited everybody, and last year we had, I'm not sure how many pastors, but this year we had about 50 pastors come to our conference, and that was Catholics to Lutherans, everybody was there. And we were just amazed at worship. These guys just begin to worship with no... if you ever get the chance to go to Tanzania, I suggest you go to church, even if you don't speak Swahili, because when these guys worship with just nothing but voice, there's something so pure and powerful. Actually, you know, this morning I was thinking about the pastors in Tanzania when you guys were worshiping in the pureness of heart. And you know, Jesus said, the pure of heart will see God. So keep going with that. And these pastors would come together, and we just fed them. Like, we asked our team, what's the best food a Tanzanian would like to eat? And they said, oh, biryani and these things. So we hired some local women that work in restaurants in the area, and we just gave them all this food and said, we want these guys to be fed and fed more. We want them to leave heavier than they came. So they got to work. We got all these pastors in. We just loved them, fed them. We resourced them. We had some pastors come over from Melbourne and Perth, in fact, and they did teaching and different things, and we just worshiped together and just encouraged them to pray for one another and build connections. And we're just amazed at how now they're even beginning to preach in each other's churches. They're coming alongside each other and starting to do community. And they're even amazed at how they're seeing coming together and opening themselves up to it, how the gospel is even moving in their communities. So that's amazing. And part of my role in Tanzania, as well as the water side of things, that's part of my role, is to look at the pastors. And so what I will do is, from speaking at the conference, go and speak at different village churches in remote villages, which has been a huge experience and learning curve, coming from my church in the West, which is quite comfortable in some ways, going to worshiping in a cow shed, you know, and that's how we're going to do it. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, it's been interesting. If you want to go to the next picture, mate. So this is me, and this is my main man in Tanzania. His name is Nestori Hosea Sanga. He is like a person that when I look at him, I see Christ. You know, just amazing man. And he is my translator. So when we speak in places, he will translate for me. He speaks about 7 languages and just has been preaching the gospel in communities for forever and a day, and just really loves bringing pastors together. He can do. He's one of those people that can sing, he can preach, he can dance, he can just do everything. He can farm now. He's coming to Australia actually soon, but he can just do everything for us and constantly blows me away. So he organizes for me different churches that we'll speak at. And recently we got invited to speak at one of the biggest Lutheran churches in our region, which I didn't know was anything. I just went and spoke. And then afterwards we got in the car and he was really, really emotional and moved, because he said to me, "You don't understand. In all my years doing ministry, never once have I seen somebody from one denomination speak in a Lutheran church or vice versa. And I've never seen that." And he said, "I understand now why God sends a missionary from one place to another, because you're there speaking about things and you have no idea what's going on." And I'm stood there just blown away at what God's doing. He said to me, "You know, historically the Lutheran church in Tanzania is very exclusive and closed off. So to even get an invite to go see the pastor when they think we are Pentecostals, as we're labeled, it's just amazing." So we were blown away by that. And, you know, we are just trying to hold to in this pastor's conference that when Christ prayed for us before his crucifixion and betrayal, in John 17:21, he said, "I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." It's a part of what Christ wanted us to be, united as one church. Yeah. The world would see that we would love one another. So we're just trying to, as we do water, and what we do is when we go into a remote village, we will check who is the pastor in that village. We invite him down and we offer him to share the gospel to his community. And because of that, they are receiving the water that is so precious, it softens hearts. And then we really see God move, and pastor gets to share the gospel to everybody who's there. And everybody comes. So it's like all of Gosnell's rocking up for an event, and then Pastor David gets to just share in one go. So, and then we just see the miraculous move, and then we tell them after, we say, "This pastor is your pastor. He will care for you. Please come to his church on Sunday." Do a bit of a plug. And yeah, it's just been really good. What else have we done? In Tanzania, we just recently bought a 10-seater Land Cruiser that was fundraised. And the point of that was to transport the volunteers that we have, the number of volunteers. If anybody is interested in ever coming over and volunteer on our website, we have an expression of interest form. Fill it out and send to us. You know, you're more than welcome to come. And we do take volunteers over every year. And it's amazing watching people come. And I always like seeing it, that people come with this idea that I'm off to go help Tanzanians who have nothing. And then 2 days in there somewhere crying their eyes out because they realize God loves them so much. And we see that happen so often. People come in saying, "I'm coming to help these people," and these people help them. And that is the thing that I love the most. So if you're interested in come, you'll see some crazy stuff, and we get to go on a bit of an adventure. So we bought this Land Cruiser, the 10-seater, to transport volunteers around. And our biggest volunteer group is the Mercy Hands team, which consists of one doctor and 5 nurses. Mercy Hands is a part of Water for Africa. It's our medical side of things. So we do medical outreach within villages. So a lot of our remote villages have no access to hospitals, doctors, medications, anything. The government of Tanzania is very gracious in that if people have HIV, they will freely supply their medication. Unfortunately, one of the issues with this is that because Tanzanian roads are so just terrible, especially in wet season, to get to the hospital to pick up your medication is such a journey, even for us in a Land Cruiser. And if you know anything about four-wheel drives, your Land Cruiser is your best choice. Well, I think the Land Rovers are, because I was born in England, but Land Cruisers are good. And if you can't get access to your HIV medication, you're stuck, right? So part of the idea was that we would build a medical outreach team that would be built up by volunteers and work alongside local hospitals to go out to these people, not just want them to come to the hospital, that we could provide water, see them medically, and preach the gospel. So we're constantly trying to expand what we're doing, as we believe that the kingdom is always expanding. And, you know, we would go into villages where we would supply water and we would see someone sick. And how do you walk away from that? You know, some people say, well, you can spread yourself way too thin and try and do everything. But I'm not sure that's the case. I think if somebody's sick and they need help, well, you do your best you can, right? You just got to try. How can you leave him? How can you say, here's your water, here's the gospel, good luck? I don't think that's the heart of Christ. So we were like, let's try and do something. So we're trying to build on the Mercy Hands team. So we went into different villages, took the doctors and the nurses, and they were just incredible. These doctors and nurses that are usually used to having all the top quality equipment in Perth, in Australia, just roll up the sleeves and just go, right, bring the next one in and let's see what we can do. And even the next coming weeks, we have people that are being driven to the capital who need life, just surgery that their life depends on. And they would have never had that in Tanzania if we'd have never been. So we're really blessed by that. And in 2 weeks, they saw over 700 plus people, the doctors and nurses. We saw people that had things like ear infections for 25 years and they thought they were deaf, but they just had an ear infection. And when you looked inside, it was, pretty a lot. We had people in Tanzania, we have an issue which men normally get from working in the field, where it's a type of fungus. It's really nasty, but it gets on a person's foot and it will just eat away the flesh. And what most Tanzanian men will do is, because they have no access to medical, they'll just continue to work whilst their foot essentially is eaten away because they have no choice. But it is treatable. These things are treatable quite simply sometimes. So being able to alleviate the suffering of these men. But our focus was first that we would pray for the sick. Before we even did medical, we told people that. First, we would preach the gospel with pastor there in the water, and we would say, we believe our God can heal any sickness and disease. And we want to give him first place before we look at medicine. Now, we are not saying that medicine is not of God. We believe it is, but we know also that we want people to encounter Christ who can just melt away disease. So that was our focus, and we saw some amazing things. We saw a lady who was completely deaf come. We prayed for her, and nothing seemed to happen. And then we said, "Could you just stand behind her?" And we told her mum to call her name. She was about 25, and her mum said her name, and she heard it. And she turned and she went to her mum, and they were both shocked. I think the mum was more shocked than the daughter that she could hear. And she was a deaf single mum trying to raise these kids in a remote village. And Christ gave her a healing like that. So that was really amazing to see. And also, you do sometimes pray for people and you don't see things happen straight away, but that shouldn't discourage us, right? We just need to keep going and keep asking God, you know, why is this not happening? What can we do different? And just keep going. So we were amazed at some of the things that happened my brother was with me on this trip, my younger brother, and He's not been a Christian for that long, so I was really excited for him to come over and to serve others and just to love people and see the gospel in a different way from being sort of brand new Christian and just seeing it in the one church where he's been. So he came and I saw him pray for a man who was drunk on the local alcohol, and the guy sobered up. And my brother couldn't believe it more than the guy. He was saying to him, "Really? Are you lying to me?" And the guy was going, "No, really, I'm completely sober, and I feel so full of peace." And my brother's going, "Are you telling me the truth?" Like, so I was, you know, it's good. And that's what I mean by volunteers coming over. You even see, and sometimes in ways that we haven't, God move. And I think that the same stuff that happens in Tanzania, God wants to do here. He wants to do in Gosnells, right? But the thing is, I think the difference is that when I'm in Tanzania, I wake up and I know that I'm going to the village to preach the gospel and to pray for the sick. Well, sometimes we might just wake up and go into our jobs, but if we will allow God, even in the ordinary of our life, to begin to say, "All right, I want to have opportunity to preach the gospel in Gosnells, whatever it looks like, whether it's on the train or the bus or in the butcher shop, and God, show me the sick and allow me to step out and pray for them." And if you don't see someone get healed the first time, it don't matter, you just go again. Just keep going, it will happen. It's not our job to worry always why it's happening, why it's not. Just keep going. If Christ in the Bible prayed for the blind guy twice, and it got a bit more vision, and then he could see them and they looked like trees, I take that as my permission to pay 100 times for someone if need be. But I know he will, because he told me, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So keep going, guys, you know. So as I said before, we'll go to the next picture. This is a cool story. We have begun to work with our local hospital. They approached us, and they said that we have a government system of water, and that will run out at any point. When that runs out, a tank fills, and then we have 24 hours of water. After that, we're done until the water comes back. This is supplied by the Tanzanian government, who as well don't have the means to even provide their own hospitals with water. So they said, "Can you help us?" So we put our heads together, and a man in Perth supplied the motor and the submersible pump. So we're going to, in the next month, supply water to the hospital where we work. This hospital supplies aid to 700,000 people a year. And we are also now building a relationship with the boss of the hospital to possibly set up hospital chaplaincy. We asked him, "Would that be a thing you would like?" And he said, maybe. But then what happened was, when the doctors and nurses came, on our first day we arrived at his office. When we knocked on the door, he opened. There was this lady, this African lady, sat inside there. We had no idea. He said, come in. And then it turned out we actually had just walked in on someone's consultation with the top doctor. Which, can you imagine if that happened in Perth? How awkward you would feel if all these ran. But Africa, everything goes, so we just go with it. And this nurse here, her name is Carol. She's from Tasmania. She asked the doctor, "Could I pray for this lady?" And the doctor went, "Sure, if you want." His name's Victor, and he's not a believer. But that morning, we prayed that he would see God in a supernatural way. So Carol gets up. She lays hands on this mama, and the mama stands up and starts to walk around. Nobody thought anything of it. And then the doctor said, "She can't walk." So we were just amazed, and she was walking around saying, "Doctor, I'm healed. And he's going, "She can't walk. How is she walking?" So as soon as that happened, and then we said, "Hospital chaplaincy?" He went, "Yes, we will actually consider this. Maybe you can make our doctors' lives easier." I'm like, "Okay, Victor." So we're excited about that partnership. Also, if you go to what's the next picture? Also, we have been asked by the local disabled school to help them with clean water. So their children who live there don't have access to it, and these kids really need some help. And we're also trying to fit what's called a Tanganyika boiler, which is a basic system of boiling hot water so they can actually bathe the children in something warm instead of just putting them in cold, dirty water. These kids are really in a bad way. And we had the opportunity to go to the local school and to actually share the love of God with them as well, which I think was probably one of the greatest honors I've ever been able to have, share the gospel to someone. It blew me away, the response of these children who their society so often writes off as outcasts and misfits and the burdened and the unloved by God, and to see Christ just touch their hearts, you know, in such a way, it blew me away. So that's sort of what we're doing there. Okay, let's talk about the figures. People like them. So this year in Tanzania and Uganda, we provided clean water to 342,000 people, 674 in total. So that's how many people received clean water in 1 year. 2,235 people received Christ and made him their Lord. We, in the future, have just been asked to go into the local prison, and a ministry from America is supplied, so we're going to begin a prison ministry. And the partnership with the hospital. And we just have a learning every day to keep loving God and loving people. And one thing that shocked me is that God loves us more than we could love him, and that he's pursuing people constantly. And I'll just finish on a scripture that I've got, which is Psalms 139, and it's for everybody everywhere. And it's that, this is David speaking, saying, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made my delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." God's always with you. He's pursuing you. He loves you and he knows you. We can tell that to Tanzanians, but we need to get that here as well, that God knows your name. So I just thank you this morning.